This is Flight Training the Way I See It with Mike Schiffer. Hello and welcome to another episode of Flight Training the Way I See It with your host, Mike Shiflett. And this is the April 2026 newsletter, video newsletter edition. It follows our newsletter that gets sent out every month. And if you don't know where to get that, go to our website, cfibootcamp.com. Go to the bottom and you'll find a place to opt in for the newsletter so you have a PDF of the newsletter. Well, we've got a lot to talk about, boy. This month has been busy with everything going on. We're going to visit something bad, something good, right? So let's take the bad. Mosaic info. There's an information for operators that was released by the FAA, and we don't like it. Talk about that. I had a chance to talk to one of the FAA people directly who wrote it, who wrote part of it at least, about that. Then we're going to make sure that you know that the comment period for the 141 modernization in the Federal Register is ending on May 11th. So that'll be the end of it. We'll talk about how to make comments or what that even means. Then we're going to talk about me doing the Power Hour live from Sun and Fun, our weekly webinar, web series that we do. We've done 284 of them. And we did a live one from Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida, and Safe's booth. So that's some things to say about that. Then we're going to talk about virtual ground instruction. Did you know that we provide virtual ground instruction? So you're struggling with things and you can't find CFI who understands this material for whatever rating it is. We've got plenty of really good authorized bootcamp instructors who know the material backwards and forwards. So we'll talk about that. So you could participate that and take some of that if you need to. Also going to talk about a new product that's coming. Ooh, we've got something in the works that is now complete. There's a few little minor things I have to create around it. So we're going to release it this Saturday, May the 2nd, during the Power Hour at a special price. So we'll talk about what it is here. And then we also need some beta users for our CFI prep course, which is new. It goes through all the things that you kind of need to know as a CFI about getting a job, about building out a resume, about many things to get future jobs. It's all ready to go, and we need some beta testers for that. And then we also want to let you know that CFI Bootcamp's Power Hour lessons are now available on all major streaming services. So we stream them as a podcast after the show, and they're going to be now available for you to listen to. If you need to see the videos, the full-on of that, then you have to be on our membership site for that. So anyway, there's that. And then we're going to talk about the Redbird State of Flight Training survey that identified that only 34% of people in training say they've ever were given a syllabus. And then I've got three pro tips for you. So let's kick this thing off. Okay, we're going to talk about something called an info. I don't know if you know about it, but there are infos and SAFOs that the FAA releases. And currently on the CFI initial flight instructor test in the publication section, they're mentioned there. So you really have to know about them. Infos are information for operators. They're kind of like ACs. And they give information about compliance, administrative tasks, that kind of thing. Then there's SAFOs. SAFOs are safety information for operators. And those would have to do with things you want to integrate right away into your SOP if you're an airline or into something to improve the safety of something. This info was released by the FAA, and it was about Mosaic and about sport pilot and subpart H flight instructors. So let me explain a little bit. So a subpart H flight instructor is a flight instructor who is certificated under subpart H of the Federal Aviation Regulations. I would say a full flight instructor, meaning that that person has a commercial pilot certificate, instrument rating. So that flight instructor went through a lot of training and is authorized to do a lot of different things. Whereas a sport pilot flight instructor, that's a subpart K flight instructor, they're only authorized to do things around sport pilots. So this info came out, and I want to explain it to you. There's a link in the newsletter that has it, but you can also just Google it. So if you Google 26006 info, FAA, you'll find it. It's a two-page or so document, and this is what it looks like if you can see this video podcast. Okay, now I'm going to summarize it. Basically, what this info says is that if you are a subpart H flight instructor like me, And I elect to fly under sport pilot privileges on just a driver's license. Then I cannot give instruction outside of the sport pilot realm. It means that I am now operating under the privileges of subpart K, which is a sport pilot flight instructor. And so that I don't believe is true. And I've had plenty of arguments, conversations about this, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. But my flight instructor certificate has nothing to do with a sport pilot flight instructor certificate. I'm a subpart H flight instructor, and my privileges to train sport pilots are baked in or built in to the subpart H regulations. I can do that. And if I had a sport pilot who could be PIC, I don't even need a medical to give them a flight review, right? I'm not exercising any privilege of my commercial pilot certificate. So while I'm flying under the sport pilot regulations privileges, that's subpart J, that's the flying part. I am not giving instruction under subpart K. So the argument was then I could only give subpart K instruction if I elect to use sport pilot privileges to be pilot command. So I explained to them in the booth, I said, look, I can give a flight review to someone now or commercial pilot training, and I don't even have a medical. I don't have basic med, nothing. As long as they can be PAC, I can do that. I'm not exercising in any way my commercial pilot privileges. So the only reason I would need a medical or basic med is to be pilot in command and exercise private pilot privileges, right? Because I couldn't exercise commercial pilot privileges, right? So then outside of that, if we extend it down the line, down the paper trail there, down the logic, then you would say, well, so why is it that I can give a flight review to a commercial pilot or an ATP, right, if I want to, and not have a medical, not have basic med, but as soon as I decide I want to fly an airplane and I want to be PIC of it, all of a sudden I can't do that anymore. Somehow I'm flying on my subpart K privileges, which is not what I'm doing. I'm flying under subpart J, which is sport pilot regulations. So we have to do some things about this. And I'm going to be heavily involved in that. One of the things I would say is that for me, this is too big of a deal for me to just take it on. I feel like I don't have enough horsepower. I argued pretty good points at the booth with this guy who helped write the info. And he was starting to see a little bit of the logic of what I was saying. And he wanted me to contact him. I have his contact details with some very specific scenarios of how this is not true, how it doesn't work, or how it does work. And so I'm willing to do that, but I want to get some horsepower behind it. So I want to involve SAFE, NAFI, FSIA, and AOPA, as many as will get behind it to say, okay, let's craft up something here that's well thought out, that's rock solid, and then it's got the support of all the major organizations, so it's going to get heard. The problem I have is I submit something and I make a small mistake, it might just get chucked, right? So that's not what we want to do. They might say, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But if I have the horsepower behind there and I craft up or help craft these scenarios and we kind of look at it and go like, oh, we should put that in there that I may not have thought of, right? I think there's great value in that. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to try to get this thing, I wouldn't say overturned, but let's just say modified to reflect the correct regulations, how things are going. So anyway, that was on about that. Raul Salazar, who is one of our good guys from SAFE, he was in the booth and he said, you know, I was just at the FAA pavilion and one of the guys who wrote the info is over there. And I'll not tell you his name, but it's so you don't bug him. But anyway, he was over there. And so he said, you should go over there and stick up for this. And I went like, you're right. So I hot footed over there and I found him. I had to wait for a little bit because he was talking to someone else. And I got into conversation with him, and it was not unpleasant at all. It wasn't uncomfortable. It wasn't confrontational, but I was very specific. When he would say something, I would say, that's not true. And I would cite specific regulations and specific cases and scenarios. But, you know, it was a bit kind of too much to go over in the booth. That whole info was crafted by several people. So when I'm there, I want to be sure that I get my point across. Hey, there's something going to be coming. Who do I send it to so we all can take a look at it, you know, together? You know, we can do a Zoom call or we can do many things. Or AOPA or one of the other organizations can just take it on. That's fine because I think there's enough horsepower between everybody who's in those organizations to make all that happen. But I wanted to make you aware of it because currently that info would be used by FISDOs to say this is how it is, and I don't think it's right at all. Okay, the next topic is going to be to let you know that the comment period for the 141 modernization report and recommendations ends May 11th. So you have up until then to make public comments about what you like or don't like about the recommendations that are set to go into rulemaking. So this is a complete rewrite of Part 141. I was involved in it quite heavily for the last year and a half. I sat on a bunch of committees, three of them, testing. I sat on curriculum development, and I sat on simulation and advanced technology. So our recommendations are going in there along with everybody else in that group. They've been formatted just like FARs. There's a red line document. There's a full-on done document. And you can get them all by going to the Federal Registry. Now, you can go and find it pretty simply. You can just put 141 Modernization Federal Register, and it will get you there. If you have our newsletter, there's a link that takes you there. Now, the document is very big. It's 400 and some pages long. So it's a lot to get through if you're going to read it. But you could also keyword search it for things that you think could be pertinent to your world. But the basic idea here is that once the comment period ends, there's no way to comment on that anymore. And that goes into rulemaking then. And then all the comments will be looked at. And at the end, when the FAA publishes the final rule, they will address the comments. Why they did something, why they said yes, or why they said no to something. And if there's comments that are similar, they'll group them in all one package and say, well, there was several people or several organizations who commented, fill in the blank, and this is what we're going to do about it. All right, so be sure that if you want to comment on that you go there. Now, don't make frivolous comments. You need to make comment because you know something, not just because you don't like something. Look at it and say, how does this affect an organization or me, especially if you're a flight school owner operating under Part 141? Then I think you definitely have the right and the necessity to go and comment on something you don't like if it's in there. Okay, but if you're just commenting, I don't like there's a rule change, that's probably not going to be considered. All right, anyway, let's move on. Now we're going to talk about me. Love me. Talking about, we did the live Power Hour show from Sun and Fun. Security. So I actually had a security detail at the booth during the show, believe it or not. Two of them who sat in high top chairs, like at the booth boundary to the floor. And they were protecting me. Actually, they were just two safe members who were manning the booth who said, you know, we should kind of go here and make sure people don't come in and bug you while you're doing the show. So anyway, but it's nice to say security. It was fun. The show floor is very busy during the show, but I have a very good studio microphone, which I'm using even now. It's my Shure, Shure studio mic, and I had it set for voice isolate, and I had it very directional. So it was only picking up me, basically. It did a great job of not picking up floor conversations and air show airplanes. Okay, so I had quite a few visitors to stop by to say hi and comment on our Power Hours. Now, if you don't know what our Power Hours are, they are weekly, Saturday from noon to 1 Eastern Time shows. We've done 284 of them, and they're on every conceivable topic you can imagine. And there's an after show after, which I open up the mics. We typically have between 400 and 600 people, and then the after show, they'll still be upwards of 300. And sometimes they're in there for hours, 2, 3, 4 hours, talking about whatever it is they want to talk about. So you can go to our website, cfibootcamp.com, and you can look for Power Hours, and you can see how to register, because you have to register to get the link. And then we send you one email during the week to say, this is what it's going to be about. We send you one an hour before the show opens, and then we send you one as the show opens. So that way, you're less likely to miss any of them. Now, for Gerald and Albert, if you know who you are, two Jamaican guys stopped by and went to the CFI roundtable event at 5 o'clock. We talked in the booth for quite a while. They were so fun. So we had a great time. And Albert was just Mr. Personality. Just say that. Really nice guy. And he was saying, I think you should stop working with everybody else and just work with me. I want to be your shadow. I'm like, okay, Albert. He was fun. And Gerald said that one of the reasons that he passed his CFII was because of some of my YouTube videos. So that made me really happy. That was great to hear happy news like that. So anyway, we'll do it again next year, but that's next year at Sun and Fun. I took the Brightline train up and Ubered over from train station, which is in Orlando, over to Lakeland. the garden spot of Florida, I might add. It's a place, but the event is purpose built for the air show, and for there's a high school STEM program there. There's a maintenance facility there, teaching aviation maintenance people. There's all this stuff that they're building out, and they're making it even bigger. So, that's a central hub for aviation, and we should be happy and be fortunate that we have it. Okay, we're going to talk about virtual ground instruction. So over the years, kind of with our finger close on the pulse of this flight training environment, we've seen one challenge continue to affect students, and that's finding consistent, reliable ground instruction. The flight instruction part is really not that hard, to be honest. Flying the right seat, people say, why don't you write a book on it? There's nothing really to write. There's five things I can tell you. It's just basically getting used to it. There's nothing really there. Some things, but not enough to really write a whole even chapter on. So the reality of the situation is that many instructors eventually reach the 1500-hour threshold and move on to the airlines, and kind of leaving students searching for continued support, structure, guidance. And while the career progression is understandable, it can create gaps in the student's training experience. So that's why we build a team of experienced, dedicated instructors who are committed to the academic side of flight training. Our boot camp authorized instructors are not simply building time. They're educators first who focus on providing consistent, professional, and structured instruction for students who need dependable training and support. One of our CFI boot camp instructors is Rex Scholl, and he is a CFI airplane, CFI glider. He's a light sport powered parachute instructor. He also has a light sport repairman certificate, so he's quite knowledgeable. He does backcountry flying, does a lot of initial CFI training, and he has about 3,400 hours of time. So we're not talking junior people here. And he knows the CFI content like I do really well. So anyway, you can go to our website and learn more about that at cfibootcamp.com. And if you happen to have our newsletter, the PDF, then there's a link in there. And now the next topic is we are releasing a new product soon. It's very interesting. It's going to fill a very big need in CFI training. So I, me, have been working on a secret project for about 6 months. I didn't tell anybody about it. Now it's now finished, completely finished, and it's going to be released during the Power Hour on May the 2nd. That's from noon to 1. So if you want to attend the Power Hour this weekend and hear about it and other things, I think the topic is flying in towered airports and non-towered airports. Click on the link on this PDF to register for that. If not, go to cfibootcamp.com. Left-hand side, you'll see Power Hours. And if you do it from a web browser that's not mobile, you'll see a blue bar that you can just click onto as soon as you log onto the site. So noon to 1 Eastern Time. Now, this new course is called CFI Aeronautical Knowledge Gaps. So mind the gap. And it's designed for CFI applicants that have a local school or CFI that can do most of the work. Maybe have a very reliable CFI, but they aren't strong in things they don't do on a daily basis, like the FOI, endorsements, etc. So I created this course to cover those things. They cover the things that don't get taught well or are not well understood, because CFIs don't do this every day unless you're teaching other CFIs. So a lot of cases, you may be in a situation where you're at your local airport, you've done all your flight tests with this one DPE, you guys get along really well, and that person can also do initial CFIs, and you just want to stay at your home base and say, I want home field advantage here. So yet the CFI that's there or the CFIs there don't know this material very well. So this is to fill in the gaps, all right? Gap training. So the first module is four of them in this course is the fundamentals of instructing. We have a conversation about each chapter and how to use the information in the chapter. So for example, in chapter two, we talk about the defense mechanisms. Now you can memorize flashcards all day long, Dr. CPR, FDR, and cite them all. But if you don't know what to do when they're presented, then it's no point to know them. The same with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the pyramid. What do you do with this thing? What's to see if a student's ready to learn? We teach you how to go through that pyramid to see if that student is ready to learn that day. So many practical things like that come out of this course. And then my hope is that you'll be able to have a conversation about every chapter. So if the DPE just said, what's in chapter two? You would just start talking about it, right? You don't have to know all these memorized things. The second module is the training, endorsements, and testing requirements. So this covers the initial pilot certification for recreational, sport, private, and commercial. And it covers additional category class ratings like adding commercial airplane single engine land to commercial rotorcraft helicopter. We talk about student pilots, and there's another separate video called Key FARs that are mostly overlooked but very important. So there are sometimes in these regulations where you say, okay, I want to add a different category or class. And that regulation doesn't tell you, hey, don't forget about these other FARs that kind of speak to each other, like logging pilot command time. Like how do I solo the student that's not a student pilot? The entire subpart student pilots do not apply to this pilot. So these are the kind of things we go through with that. We also talk about using a syllabus and modifying lesson plans to create 5-minute pre-flight briefings. Then how to modify lesson plans for different learners. And we have another video on the review of the major FAA handbooks and ACs. In the last module, practical training, we're going to show you how to use IACRA as a CFI. Also how to use the WINGS program and the WINGS website as a CFI. And then how to create study sessions while preparing for your CFI practical test so you know you're ready. This course is a little over 7 hours and includes reference materials such as ACs, student pilot graphics that I created, PDFs, and more. In addition, each lesson has a study outline and a 10-question quiz with answers, explanations, and references. It's comprehensive. This course also relies on our endorsements and scenarios book that's included. It contains 53 scenarios from flight reviews, student pilots, initial certification, added category class. There's a whole separate section for recreational pilots and sport pilots, flight and ground instructors, and more. The scenarios all have solutions in words, and in most cases, flowcharts to show the decision trees where the applicable regulations are. So you can kind of go down through there and see where you went right or went wrong. That way you don't have to have a CFI sitting next to you. You have already a CFI in a book. So there'll be an early offer link in the PDF if you have the newsletter. If not, attend the Power Hour May the 2nd or subsequent ones, and you'll get it. Now, we won't keep the offer open for very long, so it'll be a special offer, okay? Now, some of you may know that we have created a CFI prep course, and we need some beta users for that. So one of the greatest benefits of attending one of our 7-day ground schools is that students do more than just prepare for a check ride. They begin building the habits, confidence, and the mindset expected of a flight instructor after certification. Now, many new certificated instructors experience what is often called imposter syndrome. They pass the check ride, earn the certificate, and quickly realize that becoming a CFI is only the beginning. The next challenge is knowing how to step into the role, present themselves professionally, communicate with flight schools, prepare for interviews, and understand what's expected of them as a freshly minted instructor. Now, at CFI Bootcamp, part of our mission has always been to prepare learners not just to pass, but to perform. We want our students to understand what they're expected to demonstrate as instructors, both during training and after they enter the job market. But however, once the certificate's earned, many new CFIs are left without much guidance on what comes next. Questions like where to apply, how to build a CFI resume, how to prepare for the interview, how to organize professional materials, and how to transition into the first 90 days of instructing are often left unanswered. That's why we created the CFI prep course. Now, this course is designed to help new and aspiring instructors bridge the gap between earning the certificate and entering the flight training industry with confidence, structure, and direction. Before we fully release it, though, we're looking for a small group of beta testers to review the course, test the usability, and provide honest feedback so we can make the experience as helpful and as practical as possible. So if you want to do that, send us an email to info@cfibootcamp.com. I'll say it one more time, info@cfibootcamp.com, to learn more about that and how you can serve as a first-round beta contributor. Now, something new, CFI Bootcamp's Power Hour lessons that we do every Saturday are now available on major streaming services, the full thing. Since releasing our Smart Study Pro product line and receiving really good positive feedback from our community, we've seen just how valuable audio-based learning has become for pilots, CFIs, and checkride candidates. And that's why the full-length audio-only versions of CFI Bootcamp's weekly Power Hour lessons are now available wherever you prefer to stream. We're basically everywhere. Spotify, Apple, everywhere you get a podcast. But there's one catch. If you want the complete learning experience, including full video lessons, outlines, and supporting lesson assets, you need to access our membership site. Now, the membership is normally $22 a month, but there's a link in this PDF for you to get it $9 a month, including a 7-day trial. Now, if you don't have access to anything right now, you can just show up to a Power Hour and you'll get the same offer. We do that for our power, our people. They get the best price on basically everything. Just to recap it, the Power Hour lessons, the full versions, are available audio only, now streaming wherever you get your streaming, your podcast from. The next thing I want to talk about is, according to Redbird's State of Flight Training Survey, completed by over 80,000 people, only 34% of pilots in training received a copy of the syllabus the CFI was going to conduct the training with. In many cases, a syllabus was not used by the CFI at all. So I found this is the case in most non-141 schools. Now, using a syllabus is very important in training to keep the pilot motivated, on track, and prepared for lessons. And it serves as a checklist to see that everything is covered. In addition, it's a roadmap to the course so the pilot can see where they are, how far they have to go, and it can relieve a lot of frustration. In the new course I created, the CFI Aeronautical Knowledge Gaps course, I go through how to use the syllabus and modify lesson plans to fit them. I also cover three different private pilot syllabi from different companies and show how to use those. So if you aren't using a syllabus, you should really look at using one at least as a checklist to see that you covered everything. Now we're going to look at the pro tips and close this show out. So number one pro tip, because it's getting summertime, know the symptoms of heat exhaustion and heat stroke. So hot weather is coming to much of the country. Symptoms of heat exhaustion include disorientation, dehydration, sweating, loss of muscle control, like balance. And this can be treated by just hydrating and getting out of the heat. You sit down, lay down, make sure you're hydrating with electrolytes and water. And over some period of time, in a cool environment, air conditioning, things settle down. But heat stroke is different. This is a medical emergency that requires immediate attention. So the symptoms here are similar: confusion, disorientation, loss of muscle control, could be loss of consciousness in some cases. But the key feature that's different between heat exhaustion and heat stroke is the person will not be sweating if they have heat stroke. They're out of moisture, so they can't relieve any of the temperature by sweating. So the body has no way to shed the heat at this point, and the body temperature is rising. So the best thing to do is get to the nearest emergency room. Typically, the patient is placed in an ice bath to try to control the temperature. Now, this will kill people pretty quickly, and it will cause a lot of damage to the brain and to other organs. So you don't have any time to lose if you notice these symptoms. Tip number two, don't get a hand tan. What's that? Keep your hand on the throttle while you're taxiing. I've seen some pilots taxi an airplane, and they have one hand on the top of the dash, like up here in the sun, and one hand is on the control wheel. The other is not on the throttle, but on the top of the dash instead. This leads to two things. One, riding the brakes, because you're putting an arbitrary amount of power into there, and you're not engaging with what you need at the moment. You're not constantly doing that. I don't think you're doing that. You're keeping your hand up there, and you ride the brakes. I've seen it happen. The second thing is that you'll get a hand tan if you keep your hand up there. This one will have a tan, and this one won't have. You may even get a hand sunburn. So keep your hand on the throttle while taxiing. Last pro tip, I reviewed this just a little while ago. I went to Redbird Migration and saw the presentation. And Bioneuse ASA's, its company, aviation book sort of company, course company, AI tool called Aviation Intelligence App. It's for iPhone and iPad. This really helps if used correctly. The tool really constrains the AI model to only the FAA sources and ASA's authored products, so nothing else. So when you're really searching for the correct answer, it's only going to look in the source materials. So you're getting good feedback from there. You're not getting the whole world's opinions on things that you sometimes get with AI. In my initial evaluation, I found it to be very accurate to my queries or prompts. So this is a great study tool. It helps you get over some of the humps when you're stuck on something. And it can also locate the source material for what you're looking for quickly. Again, it's available on iPhone and iPad on the Apple App Store. Okay, so I hope that was all interesting to you. That was a longer one than we usually do, but there you go. And getting ready to teach the initial CFI class starting next week. It's remote, so it's not going to be in any particular venue. There's still enough time to get in on that if you'd like. And look out for that course, because I think it's going to ring the bell for a lot of people. Okay, that's all I've got for you this month. So Have a good rest of your day, rest of your week, whatever that is. And we'll see you next time on another exciting episode of Flight Training the Way I See It.
This has been a production of Flight Training the Way I See It. News, tips, and opinion.